The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Hi there, welcome along to a jam-packed edition of the Postcast. It's the Racing Post's Bruce Millington, Robbie Wilders and Mark Boylan, joined, I'm delighted to say, by Boyle Sports' super shrewd head of trading, Paudy Hassett. We've got 10 races on ITV4 on Saturday to get through, including the Irish 2000 Guineas, and then we've got the Irish 1000 and another Group 1 in the Tattersalls Gold Cup in Ireland on Sunday, plus loads of other good stuff. So, tons and tons to get through. We will start with the main event on Saturday. It's the 3:20 at the Curragh. It's the 2000 Guineas, Irish 2000 Guineas, sponsored by Tattersalls. Native Trail, after his great second in the English equivalent at Newmarket, is Boyle Sports 4-11 favourite. And then it's 9-2 Buckaroo, 14 Ivy League, 16 Wexford Native, 20 Bar. There are 9 runners, so there is each way potential if you don't fancy the favourite. I guess most people will fancy the favourite, won't they, Mark Boylan?
He's very difficult to oppose, Bruce. As much as I've been a Buckaroo fan all through last season and even been impressed by what I've seen from him this year, just think he's probably a different league, isn't he, Native Trail? And in hindsight, when you watch back his run on the Guineas and where he's drawn and how difficult it seemed to be across that weekend to do what he did, I came away with more respect for him than I went into the race with for Native Trail. From a punter perspective, I can't take him on that seriously. I think Wexford Native might be the one to pick up the scraps to maybe finish third. Ivy League has been supplemented into the race for Aidan O'Brien. I just think Ballydoyle very, very light on calls of this nature, especially after Luxembourg has gone by the wayside, I should say, after a setback. You also have Point Lansdale, who didn't really fire in the 2000 Guineas at Newmarket. I think they might be waiting for France with him. It's just a light division for them, and they've thrown this guy in there. Different sort of a profile coming from running against older horses in a Group 3 last time, but I just think Wexford Native might just have another little step up in him. He'd obviously have to from what he showed last time, but the way he won on debut and the comments afterwards from Kevin Manning, pretty impressed now. And even looking at him in the parade ring, I was at Navan on the day, I just thought he was a really, really cracking horse physically. And you know, it's quite light now beyond the top two of the market. I think he could be the one to finish in the three, but Native Trail should win, Bruce.
Do you agree with that, Rob?
I mean, yeah, he should win on form, but it's the ground's good to yielding at the moment and there's plenty more rain forecast. I mean, if it is soft ground, we've never seen him on soft, so we don't necessarily know if he's going to handle it or not. I mean, he probably will, but I'd rather side with Duke Decessor at 33-1. I thought he was quite a big price. His profile is not dissimilar to Max Sweeney, who won the race last year. Both of them disappointed in the Bally Sack Stakes 2 weeks before, dropped in trip, went on testing grounds. And Max Green absolutely loved it. I think Duke Decessor is actually one of the only horses here of any sort of soft ground form. He's always been very highly regarded by Dermot World. And the fact that World's happy to drop him in trip and back up so quickly, it just means that I think he's going to run well. So 33s, that'd be the bet for me.
Okay, Paudy, what do you think Native Trail's price would do if it did buck it down?
I don't think it'd do an awful lot now, to be honest with you. He could drift slightly, but I wouldn't imagine there'd be a big drift in him or anything. I think he's different gear here, and I'd expect him to win easily.
Any thoughts on, I mean, Buckaroo's game, isn't he? Can he give him something to do, or is there a potential lurker at a big price each way, do you think?
I don't know. I wouldn't be rushing to back Buckaroo each way. I know the makeup of the race, but probably lend itself to that, you know, 4-11, 9-2, 14 bar. But I'd probably look maybe outside of Buckaroo and maybe something like Imperial Fighter, I think, could maybe snatch a place. His form from last year is quite good.
Excellent. Okay, that is the Irish 2000 Guineas. We'll do the Irish 1000 Guineas later. But next, we start our Whistle's Top Tour of the three tracks that form the ITV menu in England. And we'll start with the 255 at York over 5 furlongs. It's the William Hill Best Odds Guaranteed Handicap. This looks pretty tricky. Boyle Sports offering 4 places. Alligator Alley 4-1. Lookout Louis 11-2. Jawal 15-2. Atalis Bay, 8, as is Sir Titus, and it's 9 bar. And Robbie, have you got a strong fancy here?
Not a strong one, but I think Alligator Alley is the right favourite. I don't know if I'd necessarily want to be getting in at 4-1, but if he sort of drifted to an each way price, I'd be very interested in him. He was a very good juvenile for Joseph O'Brien a couple of years ago, and he's gone to David O'Mara. He returned a really encouraging third behind Tone the Perone and Highfield Princess, who went and won a Group 3 on her next start. Thought he ran another good race over this course and distance a couple of weeks ago. He's down a pound for that. I think O'Mara's going to get a decent race out of him, and it might be on Saturday.
Okay. Pordy, who's your fancy here?
Oh, nothing strong for me here.
No, okay. Pordy's passing. What about you, Mark?
Just about Sunday Sovereign, another kind of useful juvenile. It's taking a little bit of time, I suppose. But second in this race last year, off a pound higher. You know, easy to back first him up, kind of trapped wide at Musselburgh, I think it was. And he's entitled to need the run. Just a Chester last time, he got behind. He could never really get into it. And I think he'll really enjoy coming back to York, where you know he's run well in the past. The handicapper's given him a chance. He's dropped him 4 pounds in the last two runs. Ground should be fine. Tim Easterby won this race in 2017 with the great Copper Knight. So he'll do for me each way at a third of price.
Jolly good. And also at York on Saturday is the 3:30. A mile and 6 is the trip for the William Hill Bronte Cup. It's a Group 3 for fillies, and Boyle Sports go 9-4 favourite Believe in Love, 3 Mighty Blue, 7-2 Silence Please, 11-2 Urban Artist, and 6 and upwards the rest. Porter, you can go first.
Just, I suppose, the 3 of the top 4 met in this race last year, Believe in Love, Mighty Blue, Urban Artist. Urban Artist came out on top that day. Just at the prices, I'd be inclined maybe to side with Urban Artist. Probably there's not much between them. I'd probably just go with her.
Jolly good. Looks a tricky one, this, doesn't it, Mark? Who do you side with?
Yeah, really, really dangerous territory. It's a Silence Please, if you put the gun to my head, I'd probably just side with her. Some of her form for Jesse Harrington was very, very smart, particularly a couple of runs at Leopardstown, Irish Champions weekend and things like that. Look, she's probably not the most consistent filly you've ever seen, but if you give her the benefit of the doubt from last time, she is going to strip fitter for her first start in 200-odd days. It was also her first run for Andrew Balding. I think she has a bit more quality maybe than some of these, and if she does put it all together, I think she'd go very, very close. Silence, Please.
No guns being held to heads here. If you don't fancy race, folks, don't bet on it. Robbie, do you fancy this assignment?
Yeah, I won't be betting on this. I think Believe in Love is the right favourite. She always improves a hell of a lot for her first run. And, I mean, she's the only filly of Group 1 form. She's not penalised. So, I mean, if I was having a bet, it'd be her. But I don't think I want to, Bruce.
Okay, jolly good. There are loads more races to preview, and I'm sure the boys have got some strong fancies coming right up.
The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Experience an epic Cheltenham on the Boyle Sports app with extra places and exclusive offers every day of the Cheltenham Festival. Boyle Sports, this is betting.
Welcome back. Okay, 7 more ITV4 races on Saturday to get stuck into. 5 of those are at Haydock, and the first is the 125 on Saturday. 1.5 miles for the Kazoo Florida Handicap. 7-2 Songo, this is Boyle Sports. They're also 7-2 Carlos Felix. 5, what's the Wi-Fi code? 6, Collington, 8-1 bar. Robbie, who do you like?
Quite like Carlos Felix here, Bruce. Don't know if you know, but me and Rodders have been handicapping the Staym races on the flat this year. And we've been liking this Carlos Felix. But he actually, he ran well last time over 2 miles, but he didn't quite see it out as well as we would have liked. But it was a good run nonetheless when he was second. And the horse who beat him was just backed from something like 33-1 into 3-1 before the off. So that we couldn't have really found that. But, I mean, he's only up a pound. He's got some quite decent back form. And I think dropped in trip, yeah, he's the one for me.
Carlos Felix for Robbie. Who for you, Paulie Hassett?
Yeah, I'll roll in behind Robbie. I'll pitch with Carlos Felix as well.
Jolly good. And Mark?
Make it a hat-trick. Carlos Felix, he was the one for me as well. First time cheek pieces. I love him.
Brilliant. 3 for Carlos Felix. Short and sweet. We move on to the 2 o'clock at Haydock now. And it's 2 miles for the Kazoo Hell Nuke Handicap. 5-2 favourite with Boyle Sports. Bandinelli, 9-2 Gubinator, 6 Valley Forge, 8 Just Hubert and Miranda, 9-1 bar, 4 places. Pordy, who's the bet?
Yeah, quite like Gobinator. He's fit from hurling. He's only £4 higher than when he won over a course and distance here in September. I thought with the extra place, he'd be very hard to keep out of the four.
Lovely stuff. I do love the way Pordy gets his points across nice and quickly, but with authority as well. Mark Boylan, have you got a strong fancy here?
Yeah, we're reading off the same notes here. Gubernator for me too. You know, fourth in the Cesaro, which I think he's rock solid. Be one of my more confident shows this weekend. You know, a little bit disappointed with what he showed last time over hurdles, but freshened up since. And McDonald McCain was just touched off with a fancy one. A Chester on the flash. You know, I wouldn't be too put off here. Likes Haydock, of course, distance winner. Versatile ground-wise. Yeah, give me Gubernator.
Beautiful. We had three votes for Carlos Felix in the first. Do we have three votes for Gubernator in the second?
No, nah, afraid not, Bruce. I do really like one here, a massive price though. Mervilio, he's opened up at 33-1. Basically, he's joined John Joe O'Neill from Christophe Ferland in France. I don't know much about him, but on his last start in France, he was a really good third to Manobo, who's favourite for the Coronation Cup, in a list dress at Saint Cloud. And I thought he made quite an encouraging debut for John Joe O'Neill when fourth at Newbury in a staying race. The first and fifth from that race came out and finished first and second at York next time. And Mervilio has been dropped £2 for that. Tom Marcon's been booked. I mean, it's JP at Madison, John Joe O'Neill. I don't know if he's necessarily going to be fancy, but I mean, I could see that going off much, much shorter. I mean, there's quite a lot to like about this horse. He's got some good back form. And off 94, yeah, I think he'll definitely outrun 33-1 odds.
Interesting. I'm just looking at Ball Sports app and he's gone from 50s to 33s to 25. So you may have sussed one there, Robbie.
Yeah, nice.
Never mind. 235 at Haydock on Saturday is the Kazoo Silver Bowl. A handicap over a mile. A mighty Ulysses is 6-4 favourite for the Gosdens. And then it's 9-2 Mr. Wilson. 9-1 Dirty Old Town. And Spirit Catcher and 10-1 Bar. And Mark Boylan goes first at trying to predict the winner.
Yeah, great pot. And Gavin Cromwell is a man that doesn't... missed too many tricks when there's decent prize money around, and I was very interested to see him come over here at Mr. Wilson. First start for him in March at Nace in the Madrid Handicap, and bumped into a proper horse in Marcus Panam. I really have a lot of time for that horse, trained by Jared Innes. Went on and won a Group 3 in his next start, and I just thought, you know, he's down right end of the weights here, progressive through last season, and you know, slight concern would have had was that, you know, best form last season was all on soft to heavy, not going to get that here. But it was yielding last time, and doing the preview, I spoke to Gavin Cromwell. He said, you know, there wasn't a whole pile of juice in that Nace. He wouldn't be, he'd obviously rather it rain, but wasn't totally perturbed by it. So, you know, Aidan Keeley takes off £7, fresh from a winner there recently as well. Just thought Mr. Wilson, you know, they could have gone and won a handicap at home at a lesser level, but come over here and have a crack at a right good pot down the bottom end of the weights. He'll do for me, Mr. Wilson.
Excellent. Mr. Wilson is a confident choice for Mark Boylan. Who do you like, Robbie Wilders?
Yeah, completely agree with Mark there with Mr. Wilson. I'd be a bit worried back in Mighty Ulysses only 8 days after his last run. I did look to some data about John Gosden horses who back up within 10 days of a victory, and he's only 2 from 16. With that, so that'd be a concern. He's quite a short price for a race where there look to be a few that are on quite decent marks. This Mr. Wilson, yeah, I mean, he's conceding, he's getting about 2 stone off Mighty Ulysses when jockey claims are factored in. And yeah, it was a really good, just like Mark said, it was a really good stable debut for Cromwell behind Mark Aspenham. That's a really good horse, won a Group 3 next time. He's only got up £1. Aidan Keeley taking 7 off. I mean, he has to be well handicapped. I'd like to see a bit more rain around, but even so, I think he'll be fine on this good ground. So, yeah, I think he'll beat the favourite.
Good stat there on Gozza. There is some rain forecast, so that might help Mr. Wilson. Paul, did you agree with the lads?
Absolutely, yeah. I just think, yeah, they've said it all, really. They've covered all bases. Again, it's lovely each way priced. If you don't fancy the favourite, just he's no weight and he's back whatsoever. 8 stone 3 and getting £7 claimed off that. So I do think any rain will be a big plus. If they get plenty of rain, I could see him shortening up significantly.
Nice. Love that one. Right then, the 3:10 at Haydock on Saturday is the Kazoo Sandy Lane Stakes, a Group 2 over 6 furlongs. And the Boyle Sports 2-1 favourite is Go Bears Go. 9-4, second favourite El Caballo. 5-1, Flaming Rib. 8, Katura. 12, Bar. Plenty of runners. Porter, you go first. Who do you like here?
I think it's hard to knock El Caballo. Like, he's been unstoppable on the all weather over the winter. I suppose Tiger Flow, Frank Deform, then winning the Listed race at Newbury. So I'd pitch with him.
Okay, El Caballo is Pordy's selection. Who's Mark's selection?
I found this really tricky, Bruce. You know, Go Bears Go, big fan of the horse last season. Thought he did well at Ascot. I know he was the best horse in the race, but he was just slightly messy, and it was a chance for him to fluff his lines if he wasn't right. And he just very, very reliable. At the prices, though, it's not something I'd like to get stuck into. I think Flame and Rib probably could be a little bit overpriced. You know, last season, some really, really solid juvenile form. They tried to see whether he'd be a Guineas horse and just didn't happen for him over seven. And like, to go from one extreme to another, to be fitting a hood, I think he wore in the Greenham over seven, to then switch him back to five at Chester. I just thought it was the sign of a horse having loads of natural ability to be able to go and do that. And King's Lynn is no mug that he beat, you know, rock solid in those sort of conditions. So look, Flame and Rib probably is the value, but it's a tricky race now. If you're confident in one of them, I wouldn't put you off, but just at the price, I might just side with him.
Okay, are you confident, Robbie?
I'm not massively, no. I agree with Mark. Flame and Rib was going to be my selection as well. I mean, he does handle soft ground, so if it gets into the turf there, he's going to go well. I thought he did look better than ever last time at Chester. Hugo Palmer seems like he's doing quite well with these sort of Dascombe recruits. He'd be the one, but I mean, you can make a case for lots of these, so it's not one that I'd be too strong on.
Right, let's move on to the feature of the Haydock card. It takes place at 3:45, and it's the Kazoo Temple Stakes Group 2 over 5 furlongs, which has been won a couple of times very recently by the mighty Batash. We're getting 4 places here from Boyle Sports, who make Winter Power 6-4 favourite. Then it's 5-1 Came from the Dark, 5-1 Twilight Calls, 13-2 King's Lynn, 12-1 Existent, and Last Crusader, 16 bar. You probably wouldn't call this, Robbie Wilde, as the greatest running of the Temple Stakes ever, but if you back the winner, you still get paid out the same. And the winner will be...
Exactly. King's Lynn for me. I mean, you say it's not the greatest running, but we do have Winter Power, who is one of the best sprinters around last season. My concern with her is her form away from York just isn't the same. I mean, 1-1-1 at York last season, beaten 5.5 lengths, 7 lengths, 7.5 lengths in her other starts. It's first time out as well. I think she might be vulnerable. This King's Lynn. I mean, obviously, like Flame and Rib in the race before, so he could definitely frank King's Lynn's form because he beat King's Lynn at Chester on his return, and he was getting quite a lot of weight there. But I mean, this horse, he's very good over this Haydock course and distance, produced one of his best runs here last season over the trip. And he's going to handle a bit of cut in the ground too. I think he's only 5 years old. He can get better still. He's quite lightly raced. And at 7-1, that's quite a good each way bet, I'd say.
Okay, Pordy, do you agree with Robbie, or are you going to side with the Fav, or indeed something else?
I think the Fav is for taking on. I think coming back off a break, first run back, a 4-year-old filly, I'd definitely be inclined to lay her. I thought she looked very short at around 13-8 or 6-4. I think we're 7-4 top price now. I'd probably pitch with Came from the Dark. I thought it was a disappointing one first run back, but that was after 300 days off, and should be a lot fitter this time round. And he's a great course record around Haydock. I think he's won 2 or 3 times in Haydock.
Okay, so we've got 1 vote for King's Lynn, 1 for Came from the Dark. Does any of you fancy the favourite, Mark Boylan? Is there a Winter Power fan within you?
Not at that price, Bruce. The one thing I will say, when the lads are talking about her first time up, she was absolutely deadly first time up last year at York. She bowled it up. I think her RPR 119 that day, that was identical to what she produced when in the non-talk. Not that I think it was the same level of performance, but just to throw it out there. I think at the prices, the one that is too big is Arecibo. Definitely is going to come on. You'd imagine the way he shaped from his first start back, and he got lots of classy form from last season. You know, at these sort of conditions where he's at his best when he gets a strong pace. And in here, you've got Winter Power, definitely going to go forward. And Last Crusader as well, who really, really went on some pace when he won at York earlier this month. I think that'll play really, really to his strengths. Robert Cowell, we know how good he is with sprinters. Go back last season, you know, second in a King's Stand last year to Oxted. You know, that type of form, when you're getting 25-1 each way and knowing that he's going to shape up from or come forward from his last run, I think that's way overpriced. Give me Arecibo at them odds.
He's a little bit of a postcast cult hero, Mark, because your colleague David Jennings, a couple of seasons ago, used to tip him every single week. He seemed to run every single week in sprint handicap somewhere. And he always used to manage to finish one out of the frame. However many extra places bookmakers were giving, he'd always find a way of finishing just one out of the frame. But and last year, as you say, put some decent form together, didn't he? Okay, let's move on to where are we going next? We're going to Goodwood, where they've got two races on ITV, starting with the, hang on a sec, which one is it? It's the 145, and that is over 7 furlongs. It's the William Hill Haraway's Handicap. And Boyle Sports, who offer four places on this, make Alotabi the 9-2 favourite, and then it's 5-1 Evocative Spark, 6 Gisburn, 7 River Bride, 15-2 Bosch, 8 War in Heaven, 11 Bar, Mark Boylan, away you go. Good luck with that one.
Yeah, I've had a bit of market confidence there for Gisburn. It wouldn't put me off, because I thought last season what he did in the nursery, the final start, after you'd imagine what hadn't been an absolutely perfect season, he missed some time there, but it was 116 days here in front of me. I thought that was really, really good. Go back to his early form last season, shaped well in a Newbury Maiden, Berkshire Shadow, bolted up at Newbury, was thought good enough then to have a crack at the Coventry. You know, he's got a level of kind of quality about him that I think some of these mightn't. And although he has to give weight away, I think he might just be one even that could take a step forward from 2-3. Richard Hannon has won 2 of the last 5 runs of this. He actually had the runner-up in one of the years that he was beaten actually in that period as well. Just might just have a little bit more quality, but it is trappy to say the least. Gisburn, though, just a tentative nod.
Righty-ho. Robbie, who are you going to go for?
I'm going to sit this one out, Bruce. Too difficult for me.
Okay. Is it too difficult for you, Pawdy? Has it? I don't think there's ever been a horse race that's too difficult for a judge like you, is there?
Oh, plenty of them. I wish I stayed out of a lot of them. No, I think it's a tricky race. I think Alotabi is probably the right favourite. He's lightly raced, probably potential for improvement there. I think if you go back to his Ascot run where he finished second, he split 2 good horses that day, and I'd say he probably has a bit of scope to improve off that mark.
Jolly good. Let me ask you a question, Pawdy. How much do you, does trainer ability factor into your calculations? Are you a match? Is there one particular thing you put big emphasis on? Would trainers be a big thing for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Not so much trainer ability, but trainer form, I suppose. If the horses aren't running well, like, it's hard to get them running well, you know, if they hit a flat spot for you, like, you know, you see even in the jump season there, like, when Paul Nicholls vaccinates the horses, then he has a little dip there in January, and, you know, you're probably best leaving them alone then for them months. But yeah, definitely very, very important.
The reason I ask you is because, I mean, regular listeners to this show will know that I'm the founder member of the Rafe Beckett fan club, but Rafe's got a new rival for my affections. This guy, George Bowie, he's some trainer, isn't he? Is he the kind of guy, the guy that the people who do your job, the odds compilers, respect? I mean, he's come onto the scene and made such an impression, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's absolutely bombing. Like, you know, the horses are flying for him. Like, yeah, absolutely, you would respect it. Like, you know, there's different angles into different trainers, as you know well. Like, the trainers, when you see money coming from you get out of the way as quick as possible. And then the other trainers, obviously, for other reasons, you're happy enough to take them on.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to 2:15 at Goodwood on Saturday. 1.2 for the William Hill Festival Stakes, a listed race, and it's very competitive. Board Sports make Majestic Dawn 4-1 favourite, and then it's 9-2 Moving Time, 6 Brentford Hope, 6 Stormy Antarctic, 7-1 Victory Chime and West End Charmer, and 10-1 and Bigger the Rest. Pawdy, will stick with you for a selection here.
Nothing strong for me here. Moving Time, if you had to have a bet, but I'd be happy enough not to watch on.
Jolly good. Pawdy lets that one through to the wicketkeeper. What about you, Mark Boylan?
I'm afraid to say no bet race as well. Like, Stormy, that's right. Antarctic, like the horse, but going to need it. Very and quiet if you're a fan of Moving Time. Western Charmer has ability, but just probably not the easiest to train. Happy to leave it off and watch.
Robbie?
I think Ad Infinitum's quite a big price here, about 10-1. I mean, she goes well fresh. She actually won a course and distance race here a year to the day on just her second start at 25-1. She handles a bit of cut in the ground. Only raced 5 times. I think she can improve as a 4-year-old. And I just think a lot of these at the top of the betting are kind of like slightly disappointing. I think she might be the one who's open to the most improvement in this field. So Ad Infinitum for me.
Marvellous. That was the ITV 10 race bonanza covered. Loads more coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to the final part of the podcast. It's Bruce Millington, Robbie Wilders, Mark Boylan, and Boyle Sports' Paulie Hassett. Let's get the Saturday naps before we look ahead to some great racing at the Curra on Sunday.
This will not be beaten.
Robbie, who do you fancy?
I'm going to go for two favourite Haydock, Mr. Wilson. Think the favourite's vulnerable.
Okay, for me. Perfect. Mark, who's your Saturday nap?
One we haven't touched on there, but in the 5:03 at the Curra, there's a horse called Pinar del Rio, trained by Paddy Toomey. And, you know, you look at him there and you think a layoff of 300 odd days would be the concerning factor. But Paddy actually had a winner during the week at Killarney, a horse called Beamish that won off the back of nearly a year off as well. Paddy is just an outstanding trainer. His strike rate is exceptional. And this horse running his first handicap off a mark of 87, considering his early form last season, he actually won at the Curra on soft to heavy in a maiden, having shaped well first time up. And, you know, he was tried in races like the Railway, and he was actually 7-2 to beat Luxembourg in a Killarney conditions race as well. So look, I just thought a mark of 87 gelded since we last seen him. He's obviously had an issue. He was lame on his last start. Give him plenty of time to get over it. The layoff, given what the man has done during the week, has just helped my confidence along, and I think he'll be much better than a mark of 87. So Pinar del Rio for me in the 5:03 at the Curra on Saturday.
Paddy, if you're only having one bet on Saturday, who would it be on?
This isn't good news now. I'm going into 5:03 the Curra as well.
not
Pinar del Rio. I'm going to pitch with National Gallery down the very bottom of the handicap for Joseph O'Brien. Even a 5-2 favourite for a handicap in Nace over 6 furlongs.
Apparently looked a picture that day, didn't he?
Good man, Bruce. Bada bing. I thought he ran very well that day. Just kind of got a little bit outpaced maybe, and then ran on well. It's up a 4 long to 7 furlongs. I couldn't believe the handicapper dropped it. £3 for that run down to 77. Mikey Shee claims 3 off it, and I think it'll just win.
We got nap wars, folks. Don't forget you can Dutch, and you could also have the forecast if you fancy. Right then, let's move on to another classic day at the Curra on Sunday. 3:45, it's the Tattersall's Irish 1,000 guineas. And due to technical ineptitude, Paddy, I don't have any prices. So read out Ball Sports price, and I believe we've got some extra place joy, haven't we?
Yeah, 4 places here, and it's 5-2 Tuesday, 3-1 Homeless Songs, 6-1 History, 12 Mission Sin, 12 Purple Play, 12 Agartha, 16 Bar.
Lovely stuff. And we'll stick with you, Paddy. Who do you fancy? Tuesday?
Yeah, I suppose Tuesday, it's hard to knock classic form. She's definitely the right favourite. But I think History is probably a very interesting filly going forward for the rest of the season. I could see her running a big race, and I certainly don't think she'd be out of the 4.
Okay, History for Paddy. Who for Mark?
This is a tricky one, Bruce, because I was really sweet on Homeless Songs for Newmarket. And, you know, I would have had her nearly as the pick for the 1,000 guineas at Newmarket, even with Inspired in there. So I've just gone a little bit cold on her, though. Dermot Weld, although he's had plenty placed and plenty run okay, he hasn't had the number of winners that you'd expect his calibre of trainer to come out with in the last little while. And just the fact that they skip France as well, I don't know. I'm gone a little bit cold on her. I think when we look back at this race at the end of the season, she could well prove to be the very best of these fillies. But I'm just gone a little bit cold on her. I still think, you know, I couldn't knock her out of the 3, but at the prices of Garth, it might be the one. 12 or 14 to 1 there. I'm not quite sure what exactly it was at Boyle Sports that was called out. My line broke. But like, she's really, really, like, last season, you go back to her runs in the debutante, the Maiglare, like, course form at the Curra, handles soft ground if she needs to. Second to Homeless Songs, first time up with trying to give away a penalty this season. You know, second to History again when trying to give away a penalty. You know, when Joseph O'Brien, you get the impression from the start of this season that this was always the target. I don't think he was ever really interested in Newmarket. And when he sits down and he says, this is the one we're going for, I would like to think there is going to be improvement to come from 2 trial runs. You know, I think she's a real, real, at the price, you're definitely going to get a run from your money with Agartha. But if you said to me the most likely winner, it's probably just Homeless Songs for all of my confidence is waned a little bit.
Okay, thank you very much, Mark. Robbie, what's your view on the Irish 1000?
One thing to say is on the Sunday, it's definitely going to be testing ground the car looking at the forecast, right? And I'm concerned about the top horses in the betting. I've not run on soft ground before. The horse I want to give inside first is Purple Pay, making her debut for William Haggis. But she's got loads of soft ground form in France. She's third to Angel Bleu in the Criterium International. She's eye-catching that day. Didn't get a run until too late. I think she's going to go well. Anna Gridmore on Agartha. She won the Debutant Stakes in really good style on soft, beating Discoveries, beating Concert Hall. A lot of good fillies there. She looks too big for me. And yeah, like Mark said, I quite like the fact that Joseph's just sort of circled this one in the calendar. She looks like she can be teed up for it. And I think she'll go very well at a good price.
Lovely stuff. Also on Sunday at the Curragh at 2:40s, the Tattersall's Gold Cup. It's a group one over a mile, 2.5. It's one of those kind of group one and a halves. It's a kind of like the Falmouth or something, isn't it? People are like, is it always that good? It's a decent race. It's competitive. Have you got any latest betting for us, please, Paulie, from Boyle Sports?
Yeah, 7-4 Lord North, 11-4 State Arrest, 9-2 El Inquire, 8-1 Broom, and 10-1 Bar.
Confident about anything here, Robbie?
I am, mate, yeah. I think that Helvic Dream has been massively overlooked at this price. So I won it last year from Broome, but I mean, it's an absolute mudlark. His form on testing ground is really impressive. Thought he was eye-catching on his return under a penalty behind his stablemate Lafayette in the alleged stakes. He would definitely come on for that. He hadn't run since the Tattersalls last time. He'll go well. And the other one, Max Sweeney. His form on testing ground is just ridiculously good. I mean, Racing Post Trophy, he won that on heavy. He won a Group 2 as a juvenile on heavy, and he won the Irish Guineas on heavy at this meeting last year. So, and they're the only three times he's encountered test and service, he just comes alive on it. I think he's going to go at a double figure odds as well.
I think Max One is potentially the most going dependent horse in training at the top level. He really is. And if it's a bog, then he's your man, isn't he? Mark, who do you like here?
You're pretty much taking the words out of my mouth. I'll be watching the weather to see how much rain falls for McSwinney, because I think he can run really well here. And whereas State of Rest, we've seen brilliant around the world in America, Australia, France. It's all been on better ground he's probably going to encounter here. I really, really like the horse, but just have a slight concern in that respect. And Lord North as well, he's so good on decent ground as well. I know he has form with a cut as well, but just I'll be watching the weather for this one. But if it did come and we did get plenty of rain, McSwinney might just be the one each way. He could pop up.
And Porty, what are your views on this?
I wouldn't be strong on anything, but I think whatever beats Lord North will probably win the race.
Okay. Anything else you fancy on the card, Porty?
Nothing strong for me, no. I'll just stick with the 503 tomorrow.
Jolly good, yeah. 503. Remind us who that one is again?
It's National Gallery, the Joseph O'Brien horse.
National Gallery. How could I forget after my superb joke? Okay then, guys, thank you very much indeed. That is a tremendous effort. So many races covered in shows such short time. Maddie's back on Monday to review the action, and then we're back next Friday for another podcast. Enjoy the weekend, bet responsibly, and have a good one.